Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, we'll be reading verses 4 through 5 and verse 26. This is God's holy word. It's a word of life. It's also a word of wisdom on how we ought to live as those who profess the Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse 4. Diligent hand. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He gathers in summer. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. Let's pray. We ask, beloved Lord, that you would bless this, your word, as we seek to understand how we ought to be diligent in this life. Help us, we pray, to grow in grace and to grow in this obedience. This obedient call that you have given us to be diligent. For we ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. If you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation, as it is mentioned there in that passage printed in your outline by in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, your salvation is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, the next follow-up question is, well, why did God save us? What's the purpose of why he saved us? And the answer is, God saved us to be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Our justification is not at all dependent upon our works. It is solely Christ's perfect work, his active and his passive obedience that causes us to be saved. Yet we're saved for the purpose. The purpose is to serve Christ, to be lights in this kingdom, to bear forth much light as fruit of the kingdom. Christians are saved to a holy calling, as it is mentioned there in 2 Corinthians 5:15, that they might no longer live for themselves, but they would live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. If I did not start here, and I continue to preach a series of sermons through Proverbs, someone might say, well, this is legalistic. This is a bunch of legalistic teaching that is not foundational. It's not foundational upon the gospel. But what I want us to start off with is that if we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, if we have been saved, we've been saved unto something. Not to live any way that we want, but to live in light of his holy word. And it's not just the Proverbs. All of the Bible teaches us how we ought to live in such a way to please God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us. But the Proverbs especially is very practical in how to teach us in such a way of living in a way that is pleasing unto God. And I would say this, it's going to be hard to follow along unless you have these handouts, because there's going to be a decent amount of scripture found in this particular lesson. For those of you who might not be aware, if you ever miss a worship service, especially a morning service, I always upload the PDFs of these notes, these two-page notes, so you can not only can you listen to the message, but you can also download the notes. I would recommend you follow along as especially in these series of topical sermons through the next portion of Proverbs. The main calling that God gives us in today's text is that we are to be diligent for Christ. We are to be diligent to show our thankfulness to Christ. We are to be diligent to bring glory unto Christ. And we'll see this in three main points in today's text. A contrast of laziness versus diligence. We'll look at laziness as wickedness. And then the last point is guidance for your labors. Let's look at this first main point, laziness versus diligence. Time and time again, we look in the Proverbs that there are comparisons, many, many comparisons in the Proverbs. We have comparisons of the rich versus the poor, the foolish versus the wise, the righteous versus the wicked. You could name other comparisons as well. Today, we're looking at the diligent versus the lazy. And we'll see that there are many comparisons that God wants us to find as reasons why we ought to flee laziness and cling to diligence. The first main heading is that the outcome of one's livelihood is determined whether we're lazy or diligent. Proverbs 10:4 says, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Now, this is a generalization. It very often, you could say most often, comes to pass. Of course, we know that there can be exceptions. Someone could be of a negligent, lazy hand, but they were given a great inheritance. So they, all their life, they can remain rich and be lazy. But on the other hand, there are those who are not taught these principles, and they're given a great wealth, and they squander it and waste it because they don't know how to manage it. And they're lazy in managing that wealth, and they squander it, and it goes away. Poof. But there are also the cases where a diligent hand results in wealth, or at least a great measure of financial stability. Now, there are people in America who work for minimum wage, and they might work all their life for minimum wage, or most of their life for minimum wage, and after maybe 30, 40, 50 years of work, they don't have a whole lot to show for it. Well, wisdom would say that we need to acquire some measure or means of earning a better wage to provide a better living if we can. But I personally have dealt with a lot of patients who have worked minimum wage jobs, sometimes two jobs, to be able to provide a decent living for their families. And I believe that's a testimony to this particular passage, that God blessed them and their diligence, and he gave them homes. They were able to buy their own home and have a decent living, because they were willing to labor hard. Another passage that talks about how diligence affects our livelihood is in Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 13:4, it's printed there. "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat." In verse 11, it says that wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. So here we have a case of a sluggard, or a lazy person, craving, you could say even coveting, what's not their own. Because they have to continue going on coveting because they're too lazy to go out and work for it and get one themselves, get whatever it is themselves. But in contrast, the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, I know fatness sometimes is looked at as negative, but here it's a positive. You could think of someone being gaunt and malnourished, but here we have someone who's plump and healthy. You could say the soul. Of course, it's we need to make our souls healthy. We need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't just be diligent. I think this is just a way of speaking here. And we'll look a little bit more at this issue of nurturing the soul. Also, it talks about those who obtain wealth through fraud, it'll eventually dwindle. The case with fraud and other forms of theft is that people are often too lazy to pursue it themselves. They don't want to work for it, so they're going to try to swindle, lie, and find ways to get it from someone else. The next heading is that laziness is foolish and shameful, while diligence is wise and honorable. Proverbs 10:5. "He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully." Now, if you especially live in Louisiana, gathering in the summer in Louisiana is a lot more difficult than other places in the United States. You have to really endure the heat and the sweat and the sun. It is difficult. But sometimes God calls us to that. We're not in paradise, and the heat of the day and the sweat of the brow is part of the curse given because of our first parents. But we have to endure, and we have to even labor, even when things are difficult and hard to bear. But for those who are willing to work and pursue and to harvest even in the midst of during hardship, God says they're wise. They're to be commended. They're wise. But at the same time, if you have to work in the heat of the day, please stay hydrated and take care of yourself and avoid heat exhaustion. But look at this. It's talking about a son who acts shamefully. Here we see that laziness is breaking of the fifth command. Because the parents are telling him, son, go out and harvest. But he's too lazy to go out and do it. Therefore, he's breaking the fifth command. And that's why he's shameful. And and I've seen this happen before. People plant a garden in the spring when the weather's beautiful. But then when the heat of the day comes, they don't want to go out and harvest. And then they have all this beautiful produce, and it's just rotting on the vine or on the plant, and it's falling to the ground and rotting. They go through all the trouble to plant, but they don't want to harvest. The sluggard is one who procrastinates to his own harm. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Now, a couple of applications could be in our life. In the beginnings of our life, we have to apply ourselves especially diligent to prepare for a future calling. In the autumn of your life, you have to get an education, get a trade, get a skill, and get something that will be able to carry on the rest of your life. And oftentimes people suffer because they're not preparing in the autumn of life. Laziness brings about a very difficult, painful way of life. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Now, there are many painful, harmful thorns that come with poverty. When laziness leads to poverty, it's not an easy thing. It's a hard way of life. It's painful, and it can be even bloody at times. It's like walking through the briar patch back home with a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. You're going to end up bleeding and suffering. But in contrast, the way of the diligent is described as a freshly paved road, like a freshly paved interstate. You don't even have to stop at intersections. You can just cruise. That's the way of the diligent. The last point in this comparison of laziness versus diligence is in this main section is that often fear and laziness go hand in hand. Yet, in contrast, boldness and diligence are the case of the righteous. Let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 13 and following. Turn to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Now, due to fear of some irrational fear or anxiety, maybe some people even fear COVID, and they've been locked up in behind closed doors. Because really, the main issue is that they fear death. They fear death because they maybe know that they're not right with the Lord Jesus. But people who have the fear of COVID is real. But people have irrational fears and why they don't want to get out and work. And if you try to convince this person, don't worry about it. You can still get out. Here's what the answer is. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who give a discreet answer. You could have all kind of experts. You could have all kind of people. You could have the pastor of the church. You could have teachers at school. Anyone and every expert can tell them that it's okay to get out and go do it. Yet their fear debilitates them. In contrast, let's look at Proverbs 28. We'll skip over to Proverbs 28, verse 1. Again, this is talking about the wicked person who is lazy because of fear. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. If you are one who has faith in Christ, you know that you are provided for with an eternal security. You can be bold in this life because you know that the most essential thing in your life has been given to you, that your sins have been paid for, that if you die, it's to go to be with the Lord. You don't have anything to fear. What can man do to you? What can COVID do to you? You can be bold as a lion. But hopefully, I think that these comparisons should urge us further on why we ought to be diligent. But I want us to look at this next main heading, main point of laziness as wickedness. Now, some might say, well, there's no command out of the Ten Commandments that say, thou shalt not be lazy. Therefore, because they don't see a command there, they don't think that there's an issue of laziness. But we'll look at some main reasons, according to Proverbs and other passages of Scripture, of why laziness is sin. It's wickedness. The first is that laziness is destructive. Proverbs 18:9 says, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. You might say, well, how does that come to pass? Well, let's look at some ways that it comes to pass. Because laziness, the earning potential of a property is wasted or destroyed. So let's look at that. Proverbs 24:30. Turn to Proverbs 24:30. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. The only thing you have to do to let a piece of property get destroyed, especially a house or a building, is just to do nothing. The sun and the weather and the time will eventually tear it up if you don't maintain it. But I would say that it's not mentioned here, but in contrast, a righteous man, a diligent man, a faithful man, he maintains the property. He weeds the garden, he weeds the vineyard, and he harvests the produce. He doesn't let the property just go to waste. So this is a clear way here that laziness leads to destruction. It leads to destruction of a property where it cannot earn any wage potential for you. I think there's a spiritual application more than this. I think the weeds of sin in our lives need to be plucked out. And you have to be diligent with that. You can't just say, well, tomorrow I'll do it. I'm just going to lay down and sleep and not think about it. No, you have to be diligent in pulling out the weeds of sin in our lives as well. Laziness is destructive for your employer. We read this earlier at the beginning. Proverbs 10:26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. Now, vinegar to the teeth being destructive. There's a good illustration of this. Maybe you kids have done this in an experiment. You get vinegar, and there's this little experiment where you take a chicken bone and you set it in vinegar. And after a while, all that's left is like a rubbery substance, the collagen. All the minerals and everything of that that bone get eaten away by the vinegar, and then it just becomes a blob. Well, that's what happens if you take your teeth. If your kids lose a tooth, instead, we don't believe in the tooth fairy, you know, it's a made-up kids thing. But if you take that tooth instead and you drop it in some vinegar, after a while, you're not going to have hardly anything left. It's going to get eaten up entirely by the vinegar. And that's what happens with laziness and for the employer. The lazy man, it eats away at his business. I've cited here in the Eighth Commandment and how the Eighth Commandment is a breaking. The Eighth Commandment is involved in one who is lazy. In the Larger Catechism 141, it asks this question, what are the duties required in the Eighth Commandment? And the answer that the Larger Catechism gives here is that a lawful occupation and diligence in it is one way that we keep this Eighth Commandment. But also, it's an endeavor by all just and lawful means to procure, to preserve, and to further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. So when we labor, the first ultimate priority in our labors is to seek to honor and glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. When you're teaching, when you're working on a rig, whatever you're doing, do it all to the glory of God. But the second priority should be that you should help your owner's business to not only survive but thrive. That is the key, that you are to help further the outward estate of your employer. It's not just to get by with as little as possible to help make your paycheck. I would say this, that many a business can be broken by laziness of the employees, but many a business can be made to thrive by the diligence of their employees. Laziness can have a destructive effect upon a family, a church, and even an entire society. I would say that there are many a case where laziness has wrecked a marriage or even a family. The sin of laziness, again, for kids, it's a disobedience to the fifth commandment. If your parents tell you to go up and do something and you don't do it, you're disobeying the fifth commandment. But husbands, God has called you to be providers for your wife and your kids. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Some translations say an infidel. Now, this passage is not to be levied or to be cited for someone who loses their job because of an economic downturn, or from someone whose business goes south and they have to go into bankruptcy of some sort. But this is to be used for someone who, due to sin or negligence or some other thing, that the reason that their family goes into poverty is because they're basically off doing something other than working. If they don't provide for their household, they're worse than an unbeliever. Again, it's cited for sin or irresponsibility here. Wives, God calls you to be a suitable helper to your husbands, according to Genesis 2:18. He desperately needs your help. Your husbands need your help, not only in the household, but they often need your help in their callings. If there's a way that you can help them in their calling to facilitate their work and their calling, help them. I know this one individual who was married to a lady, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and he was going to school for education and working close to a full-time job. He was working and going to school. And then you know what? He had to get home, and he had to do all the laundry. The laundry would be in piles, huge piles. You think his studies and his work was easy? Especially after he gets home and he has this humongous pile of laundry he's got to do because his wife's too lazy to do it. Well, it didn't go well for their marriage because she was busy running around cheating in addition to doing all that. So laziness can be destructive for one's livelihood and one's future and one's family. Now someone might think, is it selfish or not to want to procure, to preserve, and further the wealth of my own estate? If you read that larger catechism, that's what it says, that we are to be in the endeavor not only to procure, preserve, and further the wealth of others, our neighbors, we're to preserve and further our own estate as well. Well, somebody might say, well, that's selfish, isn't it? To be thinking about our own, it even uses the word wealth and estate. And I think that's the careful reading is that we ought to pursue our own wealth as well to a degree. And I believe one of the reasons could be found in Proverbs 13:22. A good man, some translations say a righteous man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I believe that's not just his children's children, but it's his own children as well. Life is hard. paying for college and getting it, especially with the expenses of colleges now, paying for college and then having all this mountain of debt piled up on you is not a good start for life. But when parents can leave an inheritance and help with the future, laying the foundation of the future of their children and grandchildren, it's a great help. But again, one of the main things is not just to give them an inheritance, but it's to teach them responsibility on how to maintain and to further that that investment of their future. So again, laziness as wickedness. It is wickedness. But again, the Proverbs go on to give us some guidance on how we ought to labor. What are some things that the Proverbs teach us how we ought to labor? It teaches us that in verses Proverbs 14:4, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes from the strength of an ox. I think the principle here is that you have to have the right tools for the job. But it's not just physical tools. Maybe you need to have something like a degree or education, something that's a useful tool for your future to help make a living. But I still think the modern equivalent of a pickup truck compared to an ox is a very good one. Deacon Brenner one time told me, he says, every man needs a good pickup truck. And you know, I regret getting a car. I wish I had a truck instead. The reason I didn't get a truck is because I had a friend who had a truck, and he, for a very inexpensive price, he could help me out anytime I wanted. Then he ends up losing his truck and gets an SUV. Yeah. But, you know, when you have a truck, there's always people needing a lawn mowed, and there's always people who need debris taken off the property or who need something hauled and moved or whatever. There's always work you can round up with a truck, a good truck. But it's not only just a truck. Any tool that you have, it gives an earning potential. And I think that's a good principle to follow, but you need to maintain it. Believe me, if you had to maintain an ox, you had a lot of work behind you because that was a messy creature. But at the same time, it had an earning potential. It had a lot of strength and it could do a good job. So you have to maintain your tools as well. Another principle I think is found here, that you have to focus on what must be done. You can't get distracted. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is much profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. You know, there are a lot of jobs you have to talk to people. Like, well, all right, do we put up this 2x4 first, and then, or we put up this next one? You got to talk, okay? But the word here is mentioned about mere talk. If instead of working, if you're only talking, you're not getting the work done, it's going to lead to poverty because you're not going to get the job done. Now, the modern application that must be used today is this. If you're always on the cell phone, texting, talking, social media, it's going to lead to poverty because you're probably not going to keep your job very long. You know, you have an ultimatum that you have to get met. The job has to get done, and then the boss looks around, and here you are on the cell phone texting. Yeah, it's not going to bode well. Another main principle in how we are to labor and do our work is that we are to endeavor to do outstanding work. Average or above average should not be good enough. Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. A person who does excellent work will be known and will succeed. This reminds me of Mr. Morrow, who has this mechanic shop down the road in Pineville. No sign on his business, none. But he's got more work than he can handle. He has more work than he can throw around because people just by word of mouth tell about this man. So this man purely has a mountain of work just on the word of mouth. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Seek to worship the Lord in your work by seeking to give him the honor in doing the best possible job that you can. Another principle in how we ought to go about our labors is do what's worthwhile and profitable. And that means limiting entertainment and limiting other sources of vain pleasure. Proverbs 28:19. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. The command is that 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and then one day you shall rest. You know that getting out and hanging out with the guys or your girlfriends or whatever, doing that a couple of days a week is, you know, understandable. But if you're doing more time hanging out than you are working, it's going to lead to poverty. Be a servant unto others. Now, this is a citation from the New Testament. Our calling is to be a servant unto others. Instead of seeking our own, we should seek to serve others. Let's look at Mark 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 43. Jesus says in the middle of that verse, he says, but whomever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. If you have a leadership role, or maybe you run your own business, as some of you do, how do you apply this? Well, even as an employer, you can look out for the interests of others. Other than your own business, you could look out for the interests of your employees, seeking to nurture them and help them. It doesn't mean condoning their sin or their irresponsibility, but building them up in their future in any way that you can, maybe helping them to grow in their skills or grow in their occupation or whatever it might be, so that they could serve even as a better worker for your company. And I think as an employer, I think we can find ways that we are to not seek our own interests, but also the interests of others, according to Philippians 2:4. The overall focus in all this is that in diligence, we are seeking as Christians to show forth our thankfulness for what Christ has already done for us, and to seek to bring honor to our God in all that we do by our diligence. Again, there are many comparisons of laziness versus diligence. Laziness leads to poverty. It can destroy a business, a marriage, a family. But laziness can also lead to great hardship in this life, like a hedge of thorns. Laziness is wickedness. It's not a neutral activity. It's often a transgression of the fifth commandment. It's often a breaking of the eighth commandment as well. And if we don't seek to worship the Lord because of laziness, that's a breaking of the first commandment and the fourth commandment as well. And a lot of people, they don't want to go through the hardship of coming to worship because they're too lazy. But there's also guidance here for our labors. The Proverbs gives us excellent instruction how we ought to labor. Having the right tools and the right resources and maintaining them, we're to focus on what we have to get done. We're to endeavor to do excellent work to the glory of God. But our majority of our life should not be spent on empty pursuits. Remember, Jesus says this: don't just pursue treasure here on earth. Pursue treasure in heaven. The principles of diligence versus laziness have to be applied to our spiritual calling as well. Diligent in our pursuit of the means of grace, diligent in our reading of Scripture, diligent in all things related to the household of God. And God will bless us. Again, our calling is not to serve ourselves, but to live for him who died for us, our Lord Jesus, who died for us and rose again on our behalf. Now, if this message has convinced you that maybe I have been living for myself and not even for God in any respect, there is forgiveness for sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin if you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he will help you. If you have a need of greater faith, he will help you to grow in faith. Ask him and tell him, say, Lord, I have unbelief. Help my unbelief. He will answer that prayer and he will bless you by his word and spirit to help you grow in grace and to even increase your faith. Let's pray. We love you, O Lord, and we thank you for all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would help us to grow in our diligence, not only in the things of this world, but in our diligence of pursuing your kingdom. Forgive us in the many ways that we have been at times often lazy or selfish. And help us, we pray, to be faithful and diligent for your sake, for the sake of the kingdom, for our growth in grace, that we would shine as lights in this world. Help us, we pray, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll turn in our closing hymn to 535, Go Labor On, as we sing about Christ as the example of labor. 535.